I've decided to go to Minsk without you.
Wow.
It won't be the same,
but it'll still be Minsk. Happy New Year.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're going to Minsk.
No, I'm not going to Minsk.
Oh, you are so going to Minsk. You belong in Minsk.
Welcome to the Wind Machine Podcast, not your average Eurovision podcast. My name's Danny Tregoning, and today I'm joined by the Babka to my Drenniki, Mark Perkins.
Hi, Danny. Hi, everyone out there in Eurovision land.
Grated potato pie and potato pancakes.
Oh, sounds interesting.
I do like a bit of potato. Hey, do you remember when we actually gave up carbs for a while there and it was awful? But we lost a lot of weight, but it was still awful.
It was awful for you. I like the end result, really.
But I used to dream of potato.
Ooh, potato.
I love potato.
We had Spud Bar the other day.
We did. That was good. Yeah. I enjoy a bit of Spud Bar. So if you haven't already figured out by that wonderful intro, thanks to Phoebe and what was his name?
David.
David. That's right. Phoebe and David from Friends.
Yes.
Because David went to the mystical land of Minsk. And I remember when Friends was on and I thought to myself, self, where the hell is Minsk?
Well, this is me from the future telling yourself from the past that Minsk is in Belarus.
It is. So in the last episode, we picked Belarus out of the Yoda Beanie of Doom and we're focusing on our favourites based on a jury of two. We have
A Song About Time, Thundering In from 2015.
Holding Out for a Hero.
When Patrick Swayze Comes to Eurovision.
A Boat, Some Fans and An Adorable Couple.
And a Bond theme that is Belarus's best result to date. So, let's begin.
The Republic of Belarus, formerly known by its Russian name, Belarusia, almost sounds like Garmin Bosia, doesn't it? Is a landlocked country in Eastern Europe. Belarus is bordered by Russia to the northeast, Ukraine to the south, Poland to the west, and Lithuania and Latvia to the northwest. Its capital and most populous city is Minsk. Over 40% of its 207,000 square kilometres is forested. Belarus declared independence on the 25th of August 1991. Belarus has been labelled Europe's last dictatorship by some Western journalists on account of the president's self-described authoritarian style of government. Belarus is also the last country in Europe using the death penalty. Wow. In 2000, Belarus and Russia signed a treaty for greater cooperation, forming the Union State. Belarus is a member of the United Nations since its founding, the Commonwealth of Independent States, EU and the Non-Aligned Movement. Belarus has shown no aspirations for joining the European Union, but nevertheless maintains a bilateral relationship with the organisation and likewise participates in two EU projects, the Eastern Partnership and the Baku Initiative.
The national flag of Belarus is a red and green flag with a white and red ornament pattern placed at the staff or hoist end. The current design was introduced in 2012 by the State Committee for Standardisation of the Republic of Belarus and is adapted from a design approved in a referendum in May 1995. It is a modification of the 1951 flag used while the country was a republic of the Soviet Union. Changes made to the Soviet-era flag were the removal of symbols of communism, the hammer and sickle and the red star, and the reversal of the colours of the ornament pattern. from white on red to red on white. Since the 1995 referendum, several flags used by Belarusian government officials and agencies have been modelled on this national flag. While there is no official interpretation for the colours of the flag, an explanation given by President Alexander Lukashenko is that red represents freedom and the sacrifice of the nation's forefathers, while green represents life.
Belarus's two official languages are Russian and Belarusian. Russian is the main language used by 72% of the population, while Belarusian, the official first language, is spoken by 12%. Minorities also speak Polish, Ukrainian, and Eastern Yiddish. Belarusian, although not as widely used as Russian, is the mother tongue of 53% of the population, whereas Russian is the mother tongue for only 42%. English and German are compulsory school subjects and are often studied at university. Therefore, the number of English and German speakers constantly increases. In 2009, there were 12% of English speakers and 2.3% German speakers amongst young Belarusians. The English-speaking population in Belarus is about 64% of young people.
Well, if you think about language, it's a bit like time, really. And time is the language of, say, Doctor Who.
That's right.
Speaking of, it's time for our first song. From 2015, here's Time by Uzari and Maimuna.
Tell me where I belong. I've been trying for so long. Breaking out through the night made me see the bright light. Now I'm willing to fight. And I know that time is on my side. Time is like thunder.
Yuri Navrotsky, born 1991 in Minsk, better known by his stage name Uzari, is a Belarusian singer and songwriter. He represented Belarus in the Eurovision Song Contest in 2015, along with My Muma, with that song you just heard, Time. Previously, he competed in the Belarusian National Final in 2012, with the song The Winner coming in 5th place. And in 2013, with the song Secret coming in 8th place. He was also one of the backing singers at Eurovision Song Contest 2011. He also co-composed Belarus's entry into the Junior Eurovision Song Contest 2014, which came 7th. Maimuna Amadu Murashko, born 1980, known professionally as simply Maimuma, is a Belarusian violinist. Maimuma was born in St. Petersburg, Russia, to a Belarusian mother and a Malian father. When she was young, her family moved to Mali, but being unable to adapt to the hot climate, Maimuna moved in with her grandmother in Mogilev, Belarus, where she was raised. The song came 12th in the semi-final on 39 points.
The official clip is a little bit like Sand People from Star Wars. There's a lot of sand happening.
Yes, it's very sandy.
So, Maimuna is trapped in an hourglass. And of course, what happens with hourglasses? They fill up with sand.
Hence, time. Hourglass.
Time, yes. So Uzari spends a lot of time running, but then he stops for a bit and then runs again and then stops and runs. And it's like, dude,
just get there.
She's going to drown in the sand.
Hurry up.
Then he plays with a snake.
Yeah.
Then we've got some fire. And then as he gets there, she's pretty much covered in sand. He puts his hand on the glass and then they swap. So suddenly he's in there and she's out.
Oh, he rescues her, but he sacrifices himself.
I think that's what happened. He was also wearing some kind of interesting ear adornments.
I just call them Bajoran earrings.
Is that what they are?
No, but they look like it.
It's quite a spectacular official clip, though, I think.
Yeah.
None of this carries to the Eurovision stage, though, unfortunately. It's quite backlit, so it's a little bit like Hear Them Calling, which we spoke about in a couple of episodes ago. There's a lot of red lines and lightning, because it's very, you know, raw. Time is like thunder. He's in black and she's in white. And there's lots of kind of clouds and smoke machines and stuff as well. It's actually quite soft for a song that's quite strong.
It's mesmerising.
It is. Now, 12th in a semi is not bad.
Yeah, but this is a song that probably should have been, should have made it through.
Remember 2015 was a hard
year.
Yeah,
true. It was very strong songs that year, 2015.
Yeah, so unfortunately he just didn't make it. But we do have some coming up that did make.
Oh, did we?
The final, yes. You know, in our current climate, we're always looking for a hero.
Is it Mons?
No, it's not Mons. Sorry. He was in episode 2. That seems so long ago now.
I know. It's 2 years ago.
Wow. But we've got some other heroes.
We do?
We do. Here's We Are the Heroes by Light Sound from 2012.
Falling from the sky, just keep driving on a highway. While the world is deaf to all your cries, just keep going, you'll be there someday. You're not alone, we're against them all. Hold on to me, I'll never let you fall. Even if some damn hope is gone, I will not give up. Whatever's standing in my way, we'll make it through the day. 'Cause we are the winners, we are the heroes. We're breaking down the walls, we gotta hit them all. 'Cause we are believers, we are the dreamers.
the starry sky. I just lose faith in gravity, and it feels like I can learn to fly. Brings alive all my fantasies. You're not alone, we're against them all. Hold on to me and never let you fall. Even if someday all hope is gone, I will not give up. Whatever's standing in my way, we'll make it through the day. 'Cause we are the winners, we are the heroes. We're breaking down the walls, we gotta hit them all. 'Cause we are believers, we are the dreamers. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, I'll make it alright, I'll make it for you. We're breaking down the walls, we're breaking down the walls. We are the heroes, we are the heroes.
Sound is a Belarusian pop rock band formed in 2005. It is composed of the two brothers, Dmitry and Vladimir Karyakin. Now, the thing is, I tried to do pronouncenames.com for a few things. Doesn't really work for Belarusian.
No.
No. So the band originally formed as a duo with Dmitry and Vladimir, and in 2005, the band was changed into a quartet that became known as Light Sound. The band competed in Eurofest 2006 in the hope of representing Belarus at the Eurovision Song Contest, performing the song My Faith, and it placed sixth. Light Sound participated in Eurofest 2008, performing the song Do You Believe, and came second. They gave it another shot and returned to Eurofest in 2009, placing third with the song Carry On. They kept carrying on.
Ha-ha.
So close.
Carry On Light Sound, a new film.
Yes. The band once again aimed to represent their country at Eurovision by taking part in Eurofest 2012. And they came second. However, the Belarusian president conducted an investigation about alleged voter fraud in the televote, which turned out to be true.
Ooh.
Ooh, dramatic. As a result, Light Sound were then internally chosen to represent Belarus at ESC 2012. The song came 16th. In the semi, on 35 points. This one I found to be quite disappointing as its ranking in the semi-final. I was like, really? This is a great song. The official clip really does go into the whole heroes element, which unfortunately the Eurovision stage did not.
Did not, no.
So we seem to have a bit of kind of Armageddon happening, don't we?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So there's people standing in a square and the clocks kind of stop, and then there's an earthquake, then there's a plane and the plane goes down, but the people survive. Then there's an explosion and this guy runs into the plane to save this woman, and yay, emergency service people. And then there's like comets hitting the earth.
Yeah.
But then they set off a lantern and save the day.
Yes,
if only that's what it took. Look, seriously, think of a lot of the apocalyptic films that we like to watch.
Yeah.
None of them have used a lantern to save the day.
Because why would you? How does that work even?
Dunno, it stopped the comets. But yeah, yay. So they were all kind of, well, the band was all dressed as emergency services people. Yeah,
but post-apocalyptic emergency services people.
That's right.
Wearing chainmail. They're sort of like a Knights Templar.
Yeah, because that's what happened on the Eurovision stage. They kind of went from emergency services people to chainmail.
Yeah.
Weird. So we've got the full band on stage, which is three guitars, the singer and drums. And there's groovy mic stands too.
Mm.
I liked them. They were very good. And blue and yellow staging. But they didn't really capitalize on the whole heroes theme.
No. That they should have gone with that because that might have picked up the song a bit.
Well, exactly. And the strange thing is when we looked for the official clip on YouTube, it's actually a remix of the song.
Yeah, so it sort of suggests that it was done after.
Yeah, like way after.
Yeah, after Eurovision, yeah.
But it would have been nice if they had that sort of idea of doing the whole kind of heroes thing
on stage
to do it on stage and then of course go full hog in the official clip. I don't know, but we still thought it was great, so it got added to the five. How's the history?
That's pretty great too.
Oh, fantastic. It's not too long.
No,
oh, it's, woohoo!
It's quite short comparatively, right? Speaking.
Did you cut a lot?
Oh yeah.
All right, well, let's go.
The region that is now Belarus was first settled by Baltic tribes in the 3rd century. Around the 5th century, the area was taken over by Slavic tribes. In the 9th century, see how I skipped a few centuries there?
You did.
Some principalities arose on the territory of modern Belarus. Among them was the Principality of Polotsk, that for the most of the time was effectively an independent state. The Principality of Polotsk was the first nation-state to be established on the land of Belarus. There are no sources of military seizure, but the annals affirm the alliance and united foreign policy of Polotsk and Lithuania for decades. The Grand Duchy of Lithuania, whose existence in the centre of Europe during the 13th and 18th centuries, comprised entire territories of contemporary Belarus, Ukraine, and parts of Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia, and stretched from the Baltic Sea to the Black Sea. Incorporation into the Grand Duchy of Lithuania resulted in an economic, political, and ethno-cultural unification of Belarusian lands. Of the principalities held by the duchy, 9 of them were settled by a population that would eventually become the Belarusian people. During this time, the duchy was involved in several military campaigns. On the 2nd of February 1386, the Grand Duchy of Lithuania and the Kingdom of Poland were joined in a personal union through a marriage of their rulers. This union set in motion the developments that eventually resulted in the formation of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, created in 1569 by the Union of Lublin. The union between Poland and Lithuania ended in 1795 with the partitioning of Poland by Imperial Russia, Prussia, and Austria. The Belarusian territories acquired by the Russian Empire under the reign of Catherine II were included into the Belarusian governorate in 1796 and held until their occupation by the German Empire. Under Nicholas I and Alexander III, the national cultures were repressed. In a Russification drive in the 1840s, Nicholas I prohibited use of the Belarusian language in public schools, campaigned against Belarusian publications, and tried to pressure those who had converted to Catholicism under the Poles to reconvert to the Orthodox faith. In 1863, economic and cultural pressure exploded in a revolt. After the failed revolt, the Russian government reintroduced the use of Cyrillic to Belarusian in 1864, and no documents in Belarusian were permitted by the Russian government until 1905.
It's a bit weird, you know.
Yeah.
Because out of the last two countries in the Yoda Beanie of Doom, Lithuania is one of them.
I know. I was thinking that as I was saying that. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we're sort of already in Lithuania. Is the Yoda Beanie of Doom trying to tell us something that Lithuania is next?
Well, who knows?
Oh, we'll find out at the end. During the negotiations of the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, Belarus was first declared independence under German occupation on the 25th of March 1918, forming the Belarusian People's Republic. Immediately afterwards, the Polish-Soviet War ignited and the territory of Belarus was divided between Poland and Soviet Russia. The Belarusian People's Republic was the first attempt to create an independent Belarusian state under the name Belarus. Despite many efforts, the state ceased to exist as a territory, was occupied and controlled by the Germans and the Russians during World War I. It only existed from 1918 to 1919, but created prerequisites for the formation of the idea state around the name Belarus. Part of Belarus under Russian rule emerged as the Belarusian Soviet Socialist Republic in 1919. I want to say Bielorussian.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Sure.
We'll stick with that from now on, I think. Soon thereafter, it merged to form the Lithuanian-Bielorussian SSR. The Bielorussian SSR became a founding member of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics in 1922. The western part of modern Belarus remained part of Poland. In the 1920s and 1930s, Soviet agricultural and economic policies, including collectivization, led to famine and political repression. In 1939, Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union invaded and occupied Poland, marking the beginning of World War II. The Soviets invaded and annexed much of eastern Poland. Much of the northern section of this area was added to the Bielorussian SSR, which now constitutes West Belarus. The Soviet-controlled Bielorussian People's Council officially took control of those territories, whose populations consisted of a mixture of Poles, Ukrainians, Belarusians, and Jews on the 28th of October 1939 in Bialystok.
And Bloom!
Statistically, the Bielorussian SSR was the hardest hit Soviet republic in World War II. During that time, Germany destroyed 209 out of 290 cities in the republic, 85% of the republic's industry, and more than 1 million buildings. The Nazi general plan called for the extermination, expulsion, and enslavement of most or all of Belarusians on the purpose of providing more living space in the east for Germans. Casualties were estimated to be between 2 and 3 million, about a quarter to one-third of the total population, while the Jewish population of Belarus was devastated during the Holocaust. The population of Belarus did not regain its pre-war level until 1971. Ooh. That's huge. It was also after this conflict that the final borders of Belarus were set by Stalin, when parts of the Belarusian territory were given to the recently annexed Lithuania.
Wind Machine Podcast.
After the war, Belarus was among the 51 founding countries of the United Nations Charter, and as such, it was allowed an additional vote at the UN, on top of the Soviet Union's vote. Vigorous post-war reconstruction promptly followed the end of the war, and the Bielorussian SSR became a major centre of manufacturing in the Western USSR, creating jobs and attracting ethnic Russians, hence why there's a huge proportion of Russian-speaking people.
That's right.
The borders of the Bielorussian SSR and Poland were redrawn with the 1919 proposed Curzon Line. Joseph Stalin implemented a policy of Sovietization to isolate the Bielorussian SSR from Western influences. This policy involved sending Russians from various parts of the Soviet Union and placing them in key positions in the Bielorussian SSR, like how Vladimir Putin's doing that with certain former Soviet states.
Creepy.
Or at least trying to.
I know, creepy.
Mm-hmm. After Stalin's death in 1953, Nikita Khrushchev continued his predecessor's cultural hegemony program, stating, "The sooner we all start speaking Russian, the faster we shall build communism."
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. In 1986, the Byelorussian SSR was exposed to significant nuclear fallout from the explosion of the Chernobyl power plant in the neighbouring Ukrainian SSR.
Yeah, I had a look at a map about the fallout of Chernobyl, and Belarus absolutely copped it.
Yeah, they sure did.
Poor darlings.
Yeah. In June 1988, archaeologists discovered mass graves of victims executed in 1937-41 at Kuropaty near Minsk. Some nationalists contend that this discovery is proof that the Soviet government was trying to erase the Belarusian people, causing Belarusian nationalists to seek independence. Belarus declared itself sovereign on the 27th of July 1990, by issuing the Declaration of State Sovereignty of the Belarusian Soviet Socialist Republic, that's a tongue twister.
Oh.
With the support of the Communist Party, the country's name was changed to the Republic of Belarus, much easier, on the 25th of August 1991. Stanislav Shushkevich, the chairman of the Supreme Soviet of Belarus, met with Boris Yeltsin of Russia and Leonid Kravchuk of Ukraine on 8th of December 1991, in Belaslavskaya Pushcha, that was wrong, to formally declare the dissolution of the Soviet Union and the formation of the Commonwealth of Independent States. A national constitution was adopted in March 1994, in which the functions of Prime Minister were given to the President of Belarus. Two round elections for the presidency, on the 24th of June 1994 and the 10th of July 1994, catapulted the formerly unknown Alexander Lukashenko to national prominence. He garnered 45% of the vote in the first round and 80% in the second. Lukashenko was re-elected in 2001, in 2006, in 2010, and again in 2015. He's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Western governments, Amnesty International, and Human Rights Watch have criticised Lukashenko's authoritarian style of government, which lines back to what you said at the start of the podcast.
And we will talk a little bit about politics and, you know, the politics section. But, yeah, it's, you can't get rid of him, really, can you?
No. Since 2014, following years of Russian influence in the country, Lukashenko pressed a revival of Belarusian identity following the Russian annexation of Crimea and military intervention in eastern Ukraine. So you basically saw what Russia has done to Ukraine and thought, oh, yeah, we better not be going down the same path.
Yes.
Yeah. For the first time, he delivered a speech in Belarusian rather than Russian, in which he said, "We are not Russian, we are Belarusians," and later encouraged the use of Belarusian. Trade disputes, a border dispute, and a much relaxed official attitude to dissident voices are all part of a weakening of the long-time warm relationship with Russia, which has now been taken over by the United States.
Oh, stop it. So I was talking to Tim.
Yes.
Right, because when I told him that we'd picked Belarus out of the Yoda Beanie of Doom, and of course I had to find out that if it was Belarusian or Belarusian, he says it's Belarusian, and Belarusian actually means white Russian.
Oh, okay.
Like the drink.
Ah, okay.
Have you ever had a white Russian?
I think so, yeah.
I've had a black Russian.
Oh, we've all had black Russians.
Oh, rocket fuel.
Rocket fuel, yeah.
Hang on, let me just look up what's in a white Russian.
Vodka?
Well, you'd assume it has vodka.
Lemonade.
Hang on. Here we go. Typing white Russian. White Russian people. No, cocktail. That's what I want. All right, so for the people at home, a white Russian is a cocktail made with vodka, coffee liqueur, and cream. Yum!
Oh.
If I was still drinking, I'd so go that.
Now I feel like a white Russian.
I know, and I do like a bit of Kahlua. Oh, dear. Yeah, I remember being very sick off Kahlua when I was about 19.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on. Bit of religion. According to the census, as of November 2011, 59% of all Belarusians adhere to some kind of religion. Out of those, Eastern Orthodoxy, so Belarusian Exarchate of the Russian Orthodox Church, makes up about 82%.
Roman Catholicism is practiced mostly in the Western regions, because we had a bit of a chat about Catholicism in history. And there are also different denominations of Protestantism.
Yes, I didn't get to say it.
You didn't have to say it. Minorities also practice Greek Catholicism, Judaism, Islam, and neo-paganism.
Cool.
That just means I'm a new pagan.
Yes.
Fresh pagan. Fresh pagan. Overall, 48% of the population is Orthodox Christian, 41% is not religious, 7% is Catholic, and 3% follows other religions. Belarus's Catholic minority is concentrated in the western part and is made up of a mixture of Belarusians and the country's Polish and Lithuanian minorities. Belarus was once a major centre for European Jews, with 10% of the population being Jewish. But since mid-20th century, the number of Jews has been reduced by the Holocaust, deportation, and emigration. So that today there's a very small minority and it's less than 1%.
You know, that sentence, reduced by the Holocaust, that's sort of...
Doesn't sound nice, does
no,
it?
No. I don't.
Eradicated.
Exterminated.
Yes. The Lipka Tatars, numbering over 15,000, are predominantly Muslims. According to Article 16 of the Constitution, Belarus has no official religion. While the freedom of worship is granted in the same article, religious organisations deemed harmful to the government or social order can be prohibited. I wonder if they've got any Scientologists in Belarus. I bet you they don't.
Jeez.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
You know, it would be easier to just feed them some cheesecake.
Oh, absolutely. I love a bit of cheesecake.
Speaking of, from 2014, here's Cheesecake by Teo.
Yeah, baby. Once I gave you one more chance, you showed me dance. But I'm not Patrick Swayze, you not Jennifer Grey. I told the story, but I'm so sorry. I lost my train of thought when you called me my sweet cheesecake. I don't wanna be a turkey heads today. I'm not gonna be a boyfriend, it's too late. I look over all the maps trying to escape, cause I'm tired of being your sweet cheesecake. I don't wanna be a turkey heads today. I'm not gonna be a boyfriend,
cause it's
Yuri Alexeyevich Vaschuk, born 1983, better known by his stage name Teo,
which is way easier to say,
is a Belarusian singer, songwriter, and television presenter. In his childhood, he developed a passion and interest for music. He received professional music education at the Grodno College of Art and later at the Belarusian State University of Culture and Arts. In 2000, he was invited to work at the National Concert Orchestra of Belarus. The song came 16th in the final on 43 points.
It's funny. This is one of the songs that the EBU went, you're using a term that we're not allowing. So, of course, everyone remembers San Marino's entry, Facebook, there's so many O's. Where, of course, they had to go back to the drawing board and change it to social network song. So, basically, Teo uses Google Maps, which, of course, he had to change. So I think it's look at all the maps. I think that's what he changed it to. But look, it still flows better than social network 0000.
I understand there's rules in place, but gee, really? Google Maps? Seriously?
Yeah, well, we nearly got in trouble for FaceTime with Dami. You know, it's a product. It's a brand. You can't use brands. It's very bad.
It's not like, here, go and buy a Coke. It's the best thing ever.
But, nicely, this song did get away with Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey. So that's nice. Now, the official clip is, there's not much to it, really. Yeah, Mark's looking at me going, yeah, but the girl's hot. Okay, just wait until we get to her, all right? Hang on. Just simmer down. Basically, the whole official clip is Teo in a suit singing to a lady. Mm. But then there's a bit of blindfold action and a lot of sunglasses.
Yeah, a bit bright for him, I think.
I think so. But there's not much to it.
No.
But there's something about Teo that makes you want to look at him.
Yes.
He's hypnotic. And I know, I think it's Fleur. I think Fleur can't stand him. But there's something...
Yeah, it's weird.
...that drags you in to look at this man. And I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's like a mind meld or something happening.
Yeah, it was one of those clips that I just couldn't keep my eyes off.
Well, off him and her. I know. At Eurovision, we have no lady. I'm sorry, Mark, she didn't make the cut.
Poo.
So, Belarusian's Robin Thicke is joined by
it.
Four backup singers. He is Robin Thicke. I'd rather that he was Alan Thicke, but hey. That awful Robin Thicke song. It was one of those songs that if you didn't have the lyrics, it was actually a good song because the lyrics were awful. Trashy. Anyway.
Lie to me, your baby, come a little
closer. No. Sublime compared to Robin Thicke's disaster of a song. The Eurovision staging is yellow and red mostly with a little bit of blue thrown in. And yes, Teo is joined by four backup singers. And he does that amazing kind of sideways dancing where he's kind of like a crab. It's quite nice, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. And if you're following our Instagram, you would have seen I put a GIF there of his dancing. But yes, follow our Instagram. I'm doing that now before I forget.
So...
nothing to do with cheesecake.
It's geography, climate and politics?
Yeah, but it's okay. I really feel like cheesecake now. Damn. Many streams and 11,000 lakes are found in Belarus. Three major rivers run through the country. The Neman, the Pipiat and the Dnieper. I'm probably saying them all wrong too. The Neman.
Hello, Neman.
The Neman flows westward through to the Baltic Sea and the Pipiat flows eastward to the Dnieper and the Dnieper flows southward towards the Black Sea. Now, I expect all of our listeners to be able to draw all of those now just on my description.
Right.
The average elevation of Belarus is 160 metres above sea level. That's not very much, really. The climate features mid to cold winters with average January minimum temperatures ranging from -4 in the southwest to -8 in the northeast, and cool and moist summers with an average temperature of 18 degrees. I could deal with that in summer. Belarus has an average annual rainfall of between 550 and 700 millimetres. The country is in the transitional zone between continental climates and maritime climates. Natural resources include peat deposits, small quantities of oil and natural gas, granite, limestone, chalk and clay. Around 70% of the radiation from neighbouring Ukraine's 1986 Chernobyl nuclear disaster entered Belarusian territory, with about 1/5 of the Belarusian land, principally farmland and forests in the southeastern regions, were affected by radiation fallout. The United Nations and other agencies have aimed to reduce the level of radiation in affected areas, especially through the use of caseum binders and rapeseed cultivation, which are meant to decrease the soil levels of caseum-137. Now, we've spoken a lot about the president, so let's actually talk about the political structure of Belarus.
Sure. Belarus is a presidential republic governed by a president and the National Assembly. The term for each presidency is 5 years.
Not for this guy, though.
Well, 5 years times about a billion. Under the 1994 constitution, the president could serve only for 2 terms as president, but a change in the constitution in 2004 eliminated term limits. Alexander Lukashenko has been the president of Belarus since 1994. Wow. In 1996, Lukashenko called for a controversial vote to extend the presidential term from 5 to 7 years, and as a result, the election that was supposed to occur in 1999 was pushed back to 2001. The National Assembly is a bicameral parliament comprising the 110-member House of Representatives, the lower house, and the 64-member Council of the Republic, the upper house. The House of Representatives has the power to appoint the Prime Minister, make constitutional amendments, call for a vote of confidence on the Prime Minister, or no confidence if they should feel like that they want to go to a gulag.
Don't!
And make suggestions on foreign and domestic policy. The Council of the Republic has the power to select various government officials, conduct an impeachment trial of the president, yeah, good luck with that, and accept or reject the bills passed by the House of Representatives. Each chamber has the ability to veto any law passed by local officials if it is contrary to the constitution.
Can I just jump in for a sec? Could you imagine if we had a prime minister for a term of 7 years? In those 7 years, how many prime ministers would we go through? It sounds a little bit like, you know, there are 15 clowns on a train that's going 100 miles an hour. How many oranges is that?
Yeah.
But could you imagine, like, if Australia changed it to 7 years? Like, you know, there's a lib spill every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a joke.
You've got to say one thing about Belarus. They're consistent.
Yeah, consistent in ensuring the same guy is in charge for 24 years.
Hey, look, isn't our mate Putin trying to do the same thing?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Not saying that Belarus is like Russia. Who?
No. The government includes a Council of Ministers, headed by the Prime Minister and 5 Deputy Prime Ministers. The members of this council need not be members of the legislature and are appointed by the President. The judiciary comprises the Supreme Court and specialised courts such as the Constitutional Court, which deals with specific issues related to constitutional and business law. The judges of national courts are appointed by the President and confirmed by the Council of the Republic. For criminal cases, the highest court of appeal is the Supreme Court. the Belarusian constitution forbids the use of special extrajudicial courts.
The Major General heads the Ministry of Defence, and the President serves as the Commander-in-Chief. The armed forces were formed in 1992 using parts of the former Soviet armed forces in the new republic's territory. The transformation of the ex-Soviet forces into the armed forces of Belarus was completed in 1997, reduced the number of its soldiers by 30,000 and restructured its leadership and military formations. Most of Belarus's service members are conscripts, so they still have conscription, who serve for 12 months if they have higher education, or 18 months if they do not. That's an interesting line to draw in the sand, isn't it?
Yeah, do you think the Navi baby, when it finally grows up, will have to be conscripted into the military?
Well, yes, but the Navi baby could look after the country's forests.
Oh, it could. Just like its parents. From 2017, here's Story of My Life by Navi Band. Navi Band is a Belarusian band from Minsk. The band is founded by vocalist and guitarist Arsim Lukajaniaka, born 1992, and vocalist and keyboardist Ksenia Zuk, born 1991. Navi Band was formed as a duo in 2013, and their first project was the song Abdimi Mayani, which was released in the summer of 2013. The song immediately became a radio hit in Belarus, which was the beginning of the duo's career. Arsium and Ksenia married in 2014, and their son, the Navi Baby, was born this year in 2018. The song came 17th in the final on 83 points.
And also the first time that Belarus has actually sent a song in Belarusian.
Really?
Yes! Funny. Fantastic! The funny thing is, I remember when I first saw these two and I thought, oh, they're so cute. I wonder if they're together. Duh. Okay, so as we were saying before, Navi Baby could actually, you know, restore some of the forests in Belarus because our official clip is in the forest. It looks really cold too. There's warm jackets and stuff. So Arsium has a little guitar and Ksenia just claps and sings and she's just such a ball of energy and light. She's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
Now, you actually picked this up and I didn't. One continuous clip.
Yep, one shot.
It's one shot. I couldn't believe it when you said that to me because I was like, no, it is. It's one continuous shot.
Yeah, very
fantastic.
Clever.
Fantastic. Very clever. On the Eurovision stage, we don't really have much forest. We do have some forest sort of projected on the back, but the whole performance, we're on a little boat.
Yeah.
And there's fans. So I think the fans are trying to, are they propellers or do you think they're
wind machines?
Stop it. They might be wind machines, actually. Both of them are in white. And there's kind of like swirling buildings and then we go into forests and then we've got fireworks and all that stuff. Ksenia nearly falls off the boat, which is absolutely gorgeous.
I keep missing that.
It's so cute because she missteps and goes, woo, and then she's like, oh, that was fun. And of course, if you didn't think they were together, they have a massive snog at the end.
Yeah.
I remember watching that going, oh.
Yeah, they're together.
Yeah, they're together. It's funny when we do our pre-Eurovision episodes, there's like hardly anything on Google.
Right.
So when you type in these two, we had no idea if they were married or dating or whatever, and it wasn't until afterwards, well, after I saw their rings finally for the first time, I'm like, oh yeah, they got rings on. There's actually more members of Navi Band.
Ah, yes.
But I thought because we only see these two on stage, we'd stick to them. And it seems to be one of those kind of collective bands where you've got members that sort of float in and out.
Right.
So, yes, no, we definitely have more than two Navis. We have about seven, I think, from memory.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I thought we'd concentrate on just the two.
So, we've talked a lot about Belarus so far.
We have.
We haven't talked about how it goes in Eurovision.
No, we haven't.
So, do you want to talk about that, Danny?
I shall. Belarus has participated in the Eurovision Song Contest 15 times since making its debut in 2004. Dmitry Kolden became the country's first entrant to reach the final in 2007, where he finished sixth with a song that we might be playing next. This remains Belarus' only top 10 placement. Belarus also qualified for the final in 2010, 2013, 2014, and 2017. Alexander Rybak. Like a cold sore, he's back again. Of course, he was the winner of the 2009 contest for Norway, but he expressed interest in composing an entry for his birth country of Belarus. His chance materialized in 2015, where Alexander composed a song called Accent, sung by a group of young women called Milky. Not Milky Way, but Milky. Despite being the favourite to win the national final, it only got to fourth. Sorry, Alexander. Since 2004, Belarus has performed in English 14 times and Belarusian once. Belarus usually give their top points to Russia, Ukraine, Azerbaijan, and Moldova. They usually receive their top points from Ukraine, Georgia, and Lithuania, They can also receive points from Azerbaijan, Russia, and Moldova. Interesting little block happening there.
No surprises there, really.
No. Actually, I was surprised by Azerbaijan. Oh, look, Azerbaijan is one of those magical countries, really.
Yes.
Yes.
Speaking of magic, very clever, Danny.
I know, I'm so
from
clever.
From 2007, here's Work Your Magic by Dimitri Colden.
You've got the magic power. I am on my way, I keep the key to your tower. You can serve me something really hot, call it love or madness, but you'll get the best of what I've got. Work your magic, I never wanna lose this feeling. I am able and I'm willing, yes, I'm willing. Work your magic, you set my beating motion. When you cast your loving potion, loving potion. Work your magic, I never wanna lose this feeling. I am able and I'm willing, yes, I'm willing. Work your magic, you set my beating heart in motion. When you cast your loving potion, slow and steady, maybe I can solve your mystery. Are you ready? We're standing closely, skin to skin, playing a very old game. In this game of life, you always win. Work your magic, I never wanna lose this feeling. I am able and I'm willing, yes, I'm willing. Work your magic, you set my beating motion. When you cast your loving potion over me, when you cast your loving potion over me. So you work your magic, baby, work your magic.
Dmitri Alexandrovich Colden, born 1985, is a pop singer from Minsk. Since Dmitri was four, he aspired to be a doctor and went on to do medical studies at Minsk High School. In 2002, he studied chemistry at the Belarusian State University as his aspirations changed to becoming a chemist as opposed to a doctor. Then in 2006, Dmitri won the sixth season of the Russian television show Star Factory on Channel 1, and then went on to represent Belarus in Eurovision. Work Your Magic was the first Belarusian song to get into the Eurovision final and charted in Eastern Europe. The song came sixth in the final on 145 points.
And the thing is, it's still a bit of a banger, really.
When you think it is. About... Oh, it's such a banger. Work Your Magic.
Now, unfortunately, we only had room for five. Because this is what we've done this whole season one. And sadly, Ivan and his wolves and his nakedness did not make it.
Oh.
Also, Alex Eve, he nearly made it. No need to worry. Rain falling down.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think we've had a very interesting five as it stands. Now, for Work Your Magic, we've got a little bit of witchy poo happening here. There's a young girl and she's on a couch.
Yeah.
And witchy poo sends her little witchy poo minions to get the girl and pull her into this kind of mysterious mansion-y thing.
Yes.
Where there's clowns and gymnasts and there's lots happening.
Very bizarre.
Then finally, Witchy Poo, who seems to be ginormous.
Yes.
Faces off with girl who seems very small. It's a bit kind of Alice in Wonderland in that way, isn't it?
Yeah, because I saw Witchy Poo, as you called her, as a kind of queen of hearts.
Yes. Yeah. She was a little bit, wasn't she? Anyway, they face off and then suddenly Witchy Poo turns girl into dust. But then it's all okay because girl is back on the couch and she's reading a book. During all this, Dimitri is singing a lot. Not entirely sure if he's bad at lip sync or he's actually singing in Belarusian and they've overdubbed it into English.
I'm hoping it's the latter.
I'm not sure. Now, you said something about the turning to salt sand thing.
Dust thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the queen or Witchy Poo points to Alice, the girl.
Yeah.
And turns it to dust. It's very reminiscent of Avengers Infinity War when Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet, you know, turns half the universe to dust.
And if you haven't seen that, that's a spoiler.
Sorry.
We don't have any kind of Witchy Poo as a person on the Eurovision stage, but we do have a little bit of witchcraft happening. We start with two women and they're walking with these moving walls that keep going in, out, roundabout.
Yes.
Then Dimitri arrives and the two women are joined by another two dancers and there's one backup singer off to the side. Everyone's dressed in black. And then halfway through the song, the women attach themselves to the wall. Now, where have we seen this?
Yes, Sergei. You are the only one. You're not the only one.
You're not the only one, Sergei. Yes, because they kind of... I don't think it's Velcro. I think it's
like a
tricky-dicky.
Tricky platformy that you can't really see, but it's there.
Yeah. Also, Dimitri has some very interesting man jewellery happening.
Yes.
It's very...
Who did I say he looked like? A young Ron Moss from Bold and the Beautiful. Yes, I brought that up. I'm sorry.
Hey, look, it's been a while since we've had a Bold and the Beautiful reference. So thanks, Mark. I'm glad you thought of this so people can stop saying, Danny keeps bringing up Bold and the Beautiful because she's obsessed with it. Yes, I am. And then, of course, at the end, we have some amazing fireworks, and that is how you get a sixth place at Eurovision. You throw everything at it.
You work your magic.
You work your magic. I wonder, do you think, you know, Dimitri has ever sort of thought about going back to being a chemist?
I don't know. I reckon he should just come back to Eurovision.
And just sing again.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Like, you know, there's something quite mesmerising about him too.
Yes.
Not in a kind of Teo level, but yeah, there's something about Belarusian men.
Maybe we shouldn't go to Belarus.
Yes. It's a bit dangerous, I think. We've come to the end.
Ooh.
Okay, prepare yourself. The next episode will be based on whichever country we draw out of the Yoda Beanie of Doom. All countries with five songs or more from 2000 onwards will get a turn. Will it be Spain or will it be Lithuania?
You know what this means?
What?
This is the last ever pulling out of the Yoda Beanie of Doom.
For this season, yes.
Yeah, so the last drum roll, essentially.
I know. Okay, throw to the drum roll. Ha ha! Yun Alassand, you can get a break after this.
Maybe.
Which is nice. Can you please make sure that we have a valid result?
Yes, Danny. We do have a valid result. Can you announce the winner, please?
Episode 46 of the Win Machine podcast. We're going to Spain.
Spain?
Spain. So we finally have our last big five country. Hola. It's only taken the whole thing. Mañana.
Which means episode 47 will be Lithuania.
Which is actually quite a nice way to round it out, really. Now, dear listeners, we like to finish things on a rounded note. So we'll just explain what's going to happen for the rest of season one. So, next episode will be Spain.
Yes.
The episode after that will be Lithuania. The episode after that...
which will be episode 48.
And the next episode after that...
49.
...will be our top 10 for countries that we covered before certain Eurovision years. We are going to pick our top 10 and split it over the two episodes, so we've still got five and five, of ones that could have made it if they were drawn after.
Yes.
So there's some amazing songs that we have on a spreadsheet which we're going to have to sit down.
Yeah, we currently have it at 22, so we've got to cut 12 songs.
We've got to cut 12 songs. But this is some way of us trying to round out the season.
Danny, there's one more episode.
Well, that's right.
Episode 50.
I know.
Oh.
Things are happening for episode 50. I don't really know what we can reveal.
We don't want to be spoilering our listeners because it's going to be a big surprise.
Look, the thing is, I've already started working on it.
Yes.
And it's quite a big task.
Yes.
But it should be quite fun.
Yes.
So that, of course, then we'll finish that and then we'll have a little time off. And then we'll come back with season two, which, of course, we'll announce at the end of episode 50 what we're doing exactly for season two. Yes. See, there's lots of things happening. Don't worry that we're running out of countries. There's still stuff to explore.
Of course.
About Eurovision. Now, before we wrap up, may we please have the legal announcement.
We at Win Machine Podcast have taken every legal step allowed to us to present this podcast with a current APRA license, and we claim fair use for the music played. We are not affiliated with the EBU, its partners, or SBS. We are just fans.
What do you know about Spain?
Barcelona? Madrid?
Soccer? Margarita? Lots of great artists come from Spain.
Valencia?
Well, orange juice. Mark's just headbutted the booth.
Oh, dear, you'll keep.
Spain, of course, has been in Eurovision for quite some time.
Yes.
Any songs from 2000 onwards that stand out for you?
Well, there is a song that stands out for me, but for all the wrong reasons.
Are you talking about Do It For Your Lover?
Do it for your lover!
You never know, we could troll you all.
Oh, God.
Oh, goodness. Well, I've been Danny Tregoning, and you can find me on Twitter, DanieTreg.
And I'm Mark Perkins. You can find me on Twitter at MarkPerkinsVO.
You can also find our Twitter account, which is WinMachinePod.
Like us on Facebook, find us on YouTube.
You are probably listening to us on something, but we now have a complete list on our Facebook page of where you can find us, and also on our website, winmachinepodcast.com, also including our Redbubble site. And don't forget Instagram. We're very nice with the follow back. So if you follow us, we'll follow back. We're not those kind of people that, you know, try and be famous and crap on social media.
Why are you laughing?
Us famous.
Oh, dear. On that note, we best be going.
Yes.
So we are actually running off to Sydney the ESC Fan OGAE
AGM
and disco. So that's 1 week and gone. But we'll go as fast as we can to give you Spain. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye.
From above.